You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome in to a brand new episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, and this is the show where we explore your favorite basketball team from every possible angle. Today's Locked On Rockets is brought to you by SeatGeek. Download their mobile app for the easiest way to buy tickets, and the promo code LORockets gets you a $20 rebate on your first purchase. So for today's show, I've got a real treat for everybody. With it being the slow period of the basketball year, we've been doing a little bit of color stuff. There hasn't been a lot of roster moves of late. We did a show last week on the media credentialing process, kind of taking you through the media relations department of the Rockets. And this week, I'm going to take you through the marketing and super fan department of the Rockets. And in this case, when you think big Rockets fans, Red Rowdies, everything to do with the fan experience at Toyota Center, the first person I think of is 00 Rocket Girl, a.k.a. Bree Hodenfield. Bree, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Oh, can't complain. Just glad that, 2 weeks from tomorrow, Media Day is finally freaking here.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, I know. I'm so excited for this season. There's a lot of positive buzz. One of the, after going through everything last year, there's more positivity around the Rockets now than in quite a while, it seems like. But, for people that don't know you, I think everybody on Twitter knows you pretty well. For anyone who finds you not from Rockets Twitter, I'm going to lead you in with a story. The other day, I was working on a podcast about the Carl Landry rumor, because someone said that the Rockets were, checking around on Carl Landry, who just got released, and potentially bringing him in as a free agent. So one of the things that I do before I tape a show like that, to make sure I've got the most recent information, because the worst thing you can do is tape a show and then figure out that, you missed something. So I searched Carl Landry Rockets on Twitter and Facebook just to see what would pop up and, make sure I got the most recent information. Well, Twitter, I was up to date, just making sure. Did the same thing on Facebook, and I'm sure Facebook's algorithm for searching can be a little wonky. Well, what came up, somehow the very top thing, and I just tried it again now and it's up, is a post from you in January 2012 about tracking down a Carl Landry alternate swingman jersey. So, trying to make this work, and it's quite an ordeal, but I thought that was a good example, because of course Carl Landry left Houston in 2010, and there were no real throwback jerseys then, because the throwback scheme didn't really gain a lot of momentum until this decade. But I thought, walk us through what it takes to get a random Carl Landry alternate swingman jersey, and B, just how many jerseys you have.
Okay, so I think I ended up randomly finding the Carl Landry alternate swingman on eBay, and I bought it knowing it was a fake, and that was my first fake jersey, and I had a lot of reservations about purchasing a fake. Not so much anymore, just because I cut them all up, and the jersey prices are now $110, but
yeah.
And at that time, he wasn't a current player, and I just wanted it for an autograph opportunity and to wear on his return game, which I did. But I never got him to autograph it. And the amount of jerseys I have, I haven't counted in probably about 15 jerseys acquired.
Yeah.
So, but last time I counted, it was probably about 70.
There you go.
Simple math. We're probably in the 80s.
Yeah. For anyone who wants your true background, all they have to do is Google Bree Hodenfield, Houstonia, because Houstonia Magazine did a feature on you I think 2 or 3 years ago. But the one thing, I looked up that story today before getting you on the call, and you told Jeff that you had that you once had gone 61 straight days wearing unique Rockets apparel. And by that I mean, that's basically 2 months of not just wearing Rockets stuff every day, but being able to have a unique Rockets item every day. Is 61 still the record, or can you beat that now?
So I was at A&M on that when I did that 2 month streak, and I bet everyone in all my classes thought I was absolutely nuts because every day it was a different Rockets item. But I actually followed up. I don't think he mentioned an article, that I started, I would do theoretical days, because after I had 61 pieces of clothing that I wore, I was like, well, let's just turn this into an unhealthy habit. And
Yes, of course. I
did theoretical days up to 200 and some. Like, every time, I just never counted hats. So it would always be a shirt, jacket, shorts, a tank top, or whatever.
Yep.
Or jersey. And I bet now 600? I mean, 500, 600, if we're counting those separate, not like a full outfit. I mean, my gosh, my jacket collection and, I mean, t-shirts. I should get a t-shirt 10 times a year in a Rockets game, or 10 times in the playoffs or whatever. So, yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
That's awesome. Yeah, and the giveaways make it grow so freaking quickly. The interesting thing about you, though, I mean, of course, you're a diehard fan. You're one of the most notable out there. But one of the things I think is cool about you is that you weren't necessarily born into this. And by that, I mean, you have some Houston roots, and you grew up a basketball fan, because I know you played basketball through college. But you were actually a Spurs fan at one point. I know, I mean, I know it's a dirty little secret, but at some point, I don't know exactly when, you flipped the switch. And not only did you flip the switch, you went from, you know, not fully being a Rockets fan to being, like, as diehard as anyone. So what was the moment? When were you like, okay, I'm going to be a diehard Rockets fan?
Well, I think I must have, there's just, like, some people who have these, like, passionate, collective personality types.
Oh,
yeah. I always had, like, school spirit when spirit wasn't there, but then I went to A&M and I was a 2%er, so it's like I have to be there when, like, the spirit is void. And also I just collected stuff as a kid, being babies, Playmobiles. But I went my sophomore year of high school, I went to a 2007 playoff game 7 versus the Utah Jazz, and when I tell people that, they hate that series is just, like, so painful. They just can't believe that I went to Game 7 and became a Rockets fan from that. But it was kind of a challenge because when we actually had suite tickets, my dad was just like, oh, wow, you don't know much about the Rockets, do you? And I'm like, here I am. I'm a huge basketball fan. I kind of like the Suns and I like the Spurs. Like, I'm just going to be a knowledgeable fan. Well, my first year as a knowledgeable fan, I mean, we had Luis Scola, Aaron Brooks, Carl Landry, Yao Ming, T-Mac. It was just, how could I not, you know, fall in love with this team? And it just snowballed. And then by the next year, I was looking up Red Rowdy trial information and auditions and made it for my senior year of high school. And it was just, I mean, absolutely nuts.
Yeah. We'll get to your Red Rowdy background in a minute. To start with, I guess I'll give some background on the Red Rowdies for anyone who doesn't know. It's a great initiative by the Rockets to, you know, about 50 diehard fans sit in the lower bowl. And it's really good because it brings more diehard fans into the fold. And two, it really promotes that environment of just being a fan. You know, NBA games can be kind of pricey, especially when you sit close. So there's oftentimes an overly corporate feel. The Rowdies are great because it just helps not just, you know, yes, they're diehards and they're loud, that kind of stuff. We'll get to them in a minute. But they also just kind of loosen up the environment in general, which is really good. What section are you guys in?
We're in section 114.
114 towards the back. Okay, we'll get to your background in a minute. The reason I ask you about this section is because I do want to throw a shout out to our sponsor at SeatGeek, because really they can help you buy tickets if you want to sit near the Rowdies or if you want to sit on the complete opposite end of the arena and not hear them. But SeatGeek is designed to make your life easier if you're a sports fan searching for tickets. They do all the price comparisons for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. And they do that by grading every ticket on the site. Every ticket gets a grade from 1 to 100, with 100 being the best deal. And so you can easily find underpriced seats and get the best deals for your budget. Now, to get your $20 rebate on tickets, that's what you get by being a Locked On Rockets listener and being part of this show. Here's what you do. You download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click add a promo code, and then enter the promo code LORockets. SeatGeek will then send you $20 in the mail after you've made your first ticket purchase. So remember, download that SeatGeek app and enter the LO Rockets code today. Again, that's LO Rockets, not Locked On. It's LO Rockets, no spaces, just one word, enter that code. And if you want to sit near section 114, you can actually try and be a rowdy or learn what it takes to get involved with the rowdies. I know they have tryouts in a month. So I think that's a pretty good spot for where to get back into this show. October, right before the year, is usually when they do auditions. And I know you were in high school when you got in for the first time. So kind of take me through, when you're in high school and you're trying to get in to the Red Rowdies, which, you know, it's basically season tickets, it's absolutely crazy. What was your strategy? How did you get in?
So, I actually skipped the SATs that morning. I had
awesome.
Taken the test score. I had somehow convinced my mom that this was a worthy opportunity to do such. But
obviously,
I had looked up, like, photos and videos and of the previous tryouts, which I always recommend people, and they ask me, like, well, what's my starting point? What should I do? And I'm like, there's so much stuff archived online. You can get some ideas from what other people have worn and done for their tryouts. So I was pretty convinced that as a girl and as a 17-year-old girl,
yes,
that I was going to have to stand out and find a way to do so. So I had, like, sketched so many different outfit ideas, and I really wanted to incorporate the space theme. So I put together a spacesuit, a red spacesuit with a big rocket
yes.
R on it, and a jetpack, and moon boots, and space gloves and space goggles, and I used, like, a painter's suit at Home Depot
yes.
to paint it, and showed up, and I couldn't believe I made it. It just was surreal.
Yeah.
I had a lot of help, though, when I went there. Like, you know, the rowdies were so friendly, and they are every year helping the newcomers and giving pointers and stuff.
Yeah. And of course, if you ever want to ask them questions, that are on Twitter, simply at Red Rowdies, very easy to find. I think the overarching theme there is just uniqueness. You know, you had so many things working for you. You know, at first, you know, I think being a female would seem to be a disadvantage, but, you know, there you are, this girl with, you know, a spacesuit costume, and all of a sudden, you know, you look so different. And so I think that's the main thing, you know, and in some ways being a rowdy isn't that different than a lot of auditions that people might go on. You know, the goal is, yes, you know, you want to be a diehard fan, you want to be legit, but what makes you unique, you know? And in some ways, you know, being unique, you know, it might worry you, but if you fully embrace it, which I think you did, because you being unique, you know, it's not just you being a girl, it's how ridiculously innovative you are with these costumes. Obviously, that worked really well for you. And, you know, now, I mean, I've still seen you in the spacesuit now. Do you ever still wear it?
I really don't. I wear it maybe once a year.
Okay, I was saying, I knew I had seen you in it. Okay.
It feels like part of me, and I actually wore it to someone's church walk-in the other week.
Beautiful.
A rowdy needed some help, and so I just posted a photo on Instagram a couple weeks ago of me wearing a suit. But I think it was my senior year in high school, and I probably only had maybe 20, not even 20 rocket items at that time. But I started customizing Rockets apparel even then. I'd
yeah.
show up to school and we wore uniforms, so I'd wear my Rockets jacket, and I had sewn on, like, a Rockets emblem I took from a CD holder, like a car CD holder, and
yep.
I cut out the Rockets logo and put it on a jacket, and I'll never forget, one of my good friends was like, why do you have so much Rockets stuff when you wear the same thing to every game?
Yes.
And that was, you know, hundreds of clothes ago. So now I just, my vintage collection is so huge that I just love the opportunity to piece all that together, and it just kind of takes priority. Plus, that suit is so hot.
Yeah.
I just sweat. And
well, yeah.
Honestly, the rowdies, we evolve every year. You get different people and different ideas. And my first year, we had a lot of costume rowdies. I don't know if you remember Rowdy Granny, but
yep.
she was there for a few
yep.
years. We had a Rowdy Power Ranger. We had a Rowdy Darth Vader.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
A few other characters, too, in Rowdy Puma, like just random Rowdy Cowboy. It really fit at that time to really kind of just have these, like, red characters. And just kind of, you know, some of those people have left and just kind of evolved to more, it's Rockets gear.
Yeah, yeah, well, especially because, you know, when someone has enough as you were talking about the ridiculous amount of jerseys earlier, you know, it's such an opportunity to try and you know, match everything, it's like, yeah, if you regularly wore the spacesuit to the games, then, you know, you'd be missing your prime opportunity to mix and match everything else.
So
yeah.
Where else am I going to wear a 40 starter jacket? You know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah. Yeah, but no, like the spacesuit to me, like, yeah, as long as you have it in reserve, to me, like the spacesuit for you, it's kind of like a special sports team jersey. Like, you know how in college football, Notre Dame has those green jerseys that every once in a while, if it's a really big game or a big moment, they'll bust out the green jerseys. I kind of think that's like that's like the spacesuit for you. You know, if the moment is really big,
absolutely.
Yeah, if something calls for it, then yeah, bust out the spacesuit. You know.
This might be, I'm never
going to
forget where I came from.
Yeah. Yes. Wow. Yeah. I came from the spacesuit. That's who I am. I'm curious, have you ever watched or, you know, film? I know that you kind of went quickly into the Rowdies because you were in Game 7 of that Jazz Rockets series back in 2007. And then, you know, shortly thereafter is when you joined the Rowdies when you were still in high school. And have you ever looked back at the film of some of the games, you know, before there were the Rowdies? Because I'm not 100% sure when the Rowdies launched. Do you have that fact on you?
Like 2006.
Yeah, that's what I... Okay, that's...
season there.
That's actually exactly what I was going to guess, that they were about 10 years old. Yeah, if you've ever listened to a game before, I think you guys make a huge difference, not just from the standpoint, as I was saying earlier, of the noise you make, because yes, y'all are rowdy, y'all get to make a lot of noise, but it seems like, you know, the people around you, you know, yeah, I'm sure there's some people that are cranky, they're like, why are these people so loud? But I think people really seem to enjoy just how kind of lighthearted y'all are and fun. I mean, is that kind of the vibe that you get?
Oh, absolutely. When we have season ticket holders who are like, we get our seats right next to the Rowdies, we love being by you guys.
Yeah.
And we'll have people who, you know, you feel sorry for them sometimes.
Yes.
That they don't realize what the Red Rowdies are, and that's the cheapest in the lower bowl section. You know, we say Red Rowdies, but Red
yeah.
on the map. Since some of them clearly don't have good times, the attendant will move them if need be. But we have some people who are like, oh my gosh, you guys just made the game. It was so fun chanting with you and so funny, and we're going to sit by you guys again.
Yeah.
How can we join next year? And it's effort. I mean, we're only like less, like 0.08% of the 18,000 people, and 50 of us. Come sit with us if you want to have a good time, or you could
yeah.
go the other end if you don't, but...
Yeah, no, that's kind of my takeaway, you know, yeah, you're only 50 people in a crowd of, like, 18,000, so, you know, yeah, it's cool that y'all are diehards, and y'all get good seats for the games, and hopefully y'all can make an impact, but where y'all, you know, have a little bit more influence is in kind of setting the tone around you, because people talk about how the lower bowl at NBA games is overly corporate because of the prices, and in some sense it can be, but just because it's overly corporate doesn't mean it can't be loud. You look at the playoff games, you know, clearly the playoff games are loud. Yeah, it's just a matter of getting people to loosen up, you know?
Yeah, I think my first impression of the Rowdies, because I used to go to about a game or so a year, even when I really wasn't a Rockets fan, or a couple even before I was a Rowdy, but was a Rockets fan. And I remember the first time I saw the Rowdies, because, you know, previously I'd gone to games, and it was just kind of the sleeper crowd. And all of a sudden, I was like, who are those 50 awesome people?
Yes.
I could see all the far left of there. And I mean, it looked like they were having a party for all four quarters in crazy outfits. And I was like, what is their deal? Are they just people that came together and were like, let's, you know, dress up and just have an amazing, like, student section inside of a NBA arena,
right?
And, you know, Google it and found out, and I'm like, I want to be one of them one day.
Yeah, it's a really cool, it's a really innovative idea, and of course, you know, you guys are loud. One of the things I also think about, besides just general noise, you guys have had some really clever chants over the years. And one of the things about you, you know, you can come up with slogans pretty quickly, because I know you were a marketing person in college, and now you're, you know, a marketing person in real life, or whatever real life is. Give me one or two of the really cool or really funny slogans that you guys have come up with, just random things that, you know, because you know the Rowdies will yell things from time to time. Give me a couple of the really funny things that y'all have said.
I mean, honestly, I love free throw defense.
Yeah.
To me, that's an opportunity to actually really have an impact on the game. I mean, people are traditionally quiet, even for the opposing team free throws. You do get some people with the bangers and stuff, but it's an opportunity to get in the player's head in whatever capacity you can. And so I love that, just, you're going to miss it. Like, we just you're gonna miss it, yeah. And different variations of that. And I mean, I think it's absolutely hilarious. And then when we get like short players on the line, we like to do It's a Small World.
Oh yeah. Yes, that is.
Well, years ago we did the Oompa Loompa chant.
Yeah.
But just anything to get inside their head with the free throw line. I've been on break for 6 months, so these chants aren't coming to the top of my head.
Yeah, the small world after all is a really good one. Couple other marketing related things. You're known not just for your outfits, but for your signs. I'm going to ask you your one or two favorite signs that you come up with. The one I can think of that jumps out the most is the ever-popular toenail clippers every time the Clippers come to town. What's your favorite poster board stuff that you've come up with?
One of my favorites ever was, when we played the Spurs, I had a few different ones. Answer two questions. So one of my favorite chants that we did, and then I turned into a sign, was Dunkin' Donuts for Tim Duncan.
Yes.
And that was just great to chant when he was at the free throw line, and even when we'd go to the Spurs Arena. So I did enjoy making that sign, and then also against the Spurs, I drew Monty Ginobili, and I over-accentuated his flyer-like bald spot on the back of his head. So and they wrote like Gino Balding.
Yes.
And then someone needs a Scola wig, and Scola wigs were a season giveaway item, like in 2010 or something like that. So it kind of referenced that our Argentine had better hair.
Yeah.
In it, and I just thought the picture of the portrait I drew was spot on.
Yeah. And it brings your whole fandom full circle, because now you save your best insults for the Spurs, which is pretty perfect.
Yeah.
The last thing that I can think of when it comes to 00 Rocket Girl, aka Bree Hodenfield, and your awesome Rockets fandom, you are on Twitter always an entertaining follow, but you are by far the best Twitter follow on Valentine's Day, because anyone who knows you, every February, right around the 14th, you come up with Houston Rockets-themed Valentine's cards. And there are so many amazing ones. I don't even know where to begin. I'll let you toss out your two or three favorites. I'm going to go ahead and say the best Valentine's Day card that I've ever seen. I would send it to everyone if it were socially acceptable. It was the year after Terrence Jones had that weird... dust up with the homeless man in Portland in the off season, and this is an example of what Brie does. There's a loving card of Terrence Jones smiling with a heart in it, and it's "I won't stomp on your heart." And oh my God, it's the best ever. And there are so many other good ones. I can think of the Bill Worrell. You're my number one draft choice, because Bill Worrell, we all on Twitter have a field day with his inability to draw a distinction between being number one pick overall and just being a pick in the first round. But besides those, tell me your favorite Rockets Valentine's Day cards.
Well, it's my life to work, so I thank you for the kind words. A couple of my favorites from this last season. I did quality over quantity this last season, but we also did have a lot of roster changes. So I do welcome roster changes if they have like punny names or a checkered background that I can, make some puns off of.
Yes.
So, Dwight Howard lost his contact maybe, minimum five times, and we had game delays. So, one of mine this last season was him putting his contact back
yes.
in. That's just, sorry, I lost contact. Happy Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Another one, this was my tongue-in-cheek one, probably the biggest one of last year, was... Sam Decker in his draft suit.
Yes.
And shaking Adam Silver's hand, and it says, "I'm not here to play games."
Yes.
That one was yes. it. And then I think one of my favorites of all time, that as long as Daryl Morey is our general manager, was says, "I wouldn't trade you for the world."
Oh, yeah.
But if I did, I'd give back Mars, Pluto, and two second rounders.
Yes.
I come up with 25 to 50 a season now, and I just keep adding them. That's to my Tumblr. I think
that's awesome.
Like an Imgur album.
Yep.
Yep. But I've already been working. Every time I get a new player, I've got like a note in my phone that
yes.
I open up and just start going to work on some puns. So
awesome.
Michael Beasley is going to be a good one.
Yeah. New players or new puns. That kind of reminds me, it's a little bit of a subject change, but it's something I meant to ask you earlier. One thing that's weird about, I would imagine, about the Superfan experience is you guys, when you are literally there every game and in ideal seats, and you guys, of course, make a few road trips every year, too. You know, always see pictures, y'all have great trips to New Orleans and that kind of stuff. I know you guys feel a little bit more of a connection to the players, even more than an average fan. Because an average fan, you know, just watching on TV, you know, following the team on Twitter, you know, yeah, of course you want the team to do well, but, you know, if Daryl Morey trades someone at the deadline or in the off season, you know, it's not really, you know, it's not really that big of a deal. You know, players come, players go, you know, you just want to win. The sense I get with the Rowdies I follow, and especially you, it's like because you're around the players so much, you develop more of a connection. So like I can think of, you know, I know Demo is one of your favorite players. So I remember when Monty Yunus briefly got traded, you know, when the 48 hours that he was no longer a Rocket, you know, most of Rockets Twitter was fairly optimistic because a first-round pick is a pretty good return. But you were rather sad. So I guess tell me how it's different. You know, is it – I mean, my sense is just that, you know, since you spend more time around the players, like more intimately around them than, say, an average fan, it kind of makes you more invested in the players on the whole. Is that fair?
Yes, but I've had the Band-Aid ripped off so many times that
true.
It doesn't
hurt
as much anymore.
True. Yeah, once you're around Daryl Morey, you have no choice but to kind of get used to it. But.
Yeah. I just kind of feel like the mom in the high school stands. You know, you root
yes.
those are your babies out there a little bit. Like I said, you know, I'm getting desensitized to it, though. It doesn't hurt
yeah.
as much anymore.
Yeah.
And Dima was taken away already once, you know. She doesn't
yeah.
come back.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, but I think you're saying Demo is your favorite because he's pretty interactive with you guys and the fans. Was that it? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, I mean, it's always great when the players, you know, acknowledge the Red Rowdies. I mean, it becomes our favorites a lot of the time. But even just for regular fans, I mean, Twitter is such a cool platform, and when people,
yep.
when the NBA players respond to you, and you furthers your connection and makes them. You feel special and then can become one of your favorite players. We've also, as Red Rowdies, have had some sometimes exclusive opportunities, like meet and greet with Carlos Delfino, Carl Landry, Aaron Brooks
yep.
over the years that, you know, we've gotten to meet after the games. And Dwight Howard, gosh, would shout out the Rowdies every game in the fourth quarter pump-up. You know, Red Rowdies, I can't hear you, but he'd always thank the Red Rowdies and I think even on his like one of his exit interviews, he made sure to thank the Red Rowdies, and he invited us to his premiere for his documentary movie.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
That was really neat. I mean, it was just there were no seasons at all. No, anybody. It was the Red Rowdies and the Rockets employees. It was just a really cool gesture for him to invite us out to see that.
Yeah, that's really cool. I'd forgotten about that, but that's a really good gesture. And yeah, he's great with the fans. The reason I mentioned the road trips to New Orleans, my last question for you, just generally, how excited are you about the off season and about the season to come? You know, I know you've definitely seen Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon play a lot. You know, are you pretty optimistic for the new team?
I am. Just looking up some, Rockets news, and I'm just like, man, I forgot Pablo Prigioni's back. You know,
oh, yeah.
I completely forgot about that. And until I just looked at Clutch fans the other day, and then also just thinking about Mike D'Antoni, it's been kind of quiet over the, you don't hear much from the coach over the summer.
Yeah.
Just like, dude, we've got a different coach. Like, things are going to be different already with that. And then Nene and Ryan Anderson, I've always, I guess, hated and admired just because it was like, gosh, does anyone on our team over the last few years know he can shoot threes?
Yeah.
Can someone put
yes.
a hand up over him?
Yes.
So I love when Daryl Morey goes and gets some Rockets killers and add them to our roster. I really do like that, just for my blood pressure, and also I just think it's a good move.
Yeah.
I'm excited. The Dwight Howard thing didn't seem like that marriage was working too well. I love the guy, I'm excited to see, you know, the shakeup on the court, and just the Sonics were better than last year.
Yes.
I can't handle the 500s every other game.
Yeah.
The records. But how about you?
Yeah, the 500.
What's your outlook?
Yeah, I'm pretty optimistic. You made a good point about Ryan Anderson. He's, you know, if nothing else, you're taking a Rockets killer away from you because he's been notorious for that. No, I couldn't be more excited. Like, the one thing that I've said on this show a lot, people are on the NBA, it bothers me, have everybody just uses the last season's record as the baseline. And I think that's totally misleading because that's exactly how so many people were fooled last year, because people said, well, the Rockets brought back so many pieces from a 56-win team, so they must be, you know, they must be really good again. And it, you know, you've played the game. We both played the game. It doesn't work that way. Every year it's its own separate entity. You know, either the pieces click or they don't. And this past year, you know, the pieces were never as bad as a 41-41 team. You know, it was just one of those years where inexplicably, the sum of the team was less than the parts. But there's some good parts, obviously, starting with James Harden, Pat Beverly, Trevor Ariza. You've made some good additions in the offseason. And yeah, to me, you know, if you have James Harden and good chemistry, which at a bare minimum they have, you know, you should win 45 to 50 games and be really exciting in the process. You know, they're not going to be the Warriors, but, you know, can they compete with most everybody else? Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, the good thing is that, you know, everybody's aligned. Everything from D'Antoni to, you know, Anderson and Gordon. As long as they're just out there having fun, I feel like the results are going to be a lot better than they were last year. Because towards the end of last year, they just weren't having that much fun, you know. And so everything we've seen so far, they're having fun. The vibes are really good. And as long as that's the case, James Harden is way too good. There's too much talent for them not to win a lot more games. And then the cherry on top of the sundae, it's great that you mentioned Pablo Prigioni, because I always tell people my favorite Toyota Center moment of all, and it's a good place to wrap up, you know, talking about the fan environment. Remember the game 7 against the Clippers, the Pablo chants? When he basically intercepted every inbounds pass, took over the game.
No, it's all game 7 was great.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably my favorite. Well, either that, I meant to ask you that earlier, and shoot, I might as well hear very last thing. Your favorite game at Toyota Center, you know, your favorite moment in your time as a Rowdy, because for me, I'm torn. It's either, you know, it's one of three. My favorites are all from the 2015 playoffs. I know it's recent, but that's, you know, the most success they've had in the playoffs. I think of that game 7 against the Clippers. I think of the game 2 against Dallas, which was the, you know, Josh Smith and Dwight Howard dunkathon. And then I think of game 4 against the Warriors, and I know they lost the series. The only reason I remember game 4 is because the utter absurdity of the flooding. You know, you could hear the thunder, and then, of course, everybody getting trapped after the game in Toyota Center. But, yeah, to wrap up, favorite moment in Toyota Center as a Rowdy over the past 8 years, or however long it's been for you?
It has been 8 years. I pick all of those that you just said, because those were awesome moments. And, I mean, advancing to the third round of the playoffs only one time in my 8 years, of course. Like, that, you know, that playoff whole run was just amazing. Such a reward for these long seasons. And I have to just say some of the moments in the 2009 playoffs.
Yeah.
Because that was my first year as a Rowdy, and I mean, we made it to the second round, and there were just a lot of, you know, really cool. I mean, there's a lot of stuff happening on away games. You know, Yao Ming coming back from the locker room, and
the Fisher Scola elbow. Yeah,
Fisher Scola elbow away. So I guess just as a whole, I think that experience of, you know, getting past the Blazers and really pushing it to Game 7 against the Lakers.
Yeah, that was a really that's true. That was a really good run, because of course the Blazers game, the closeout, the first series they've won in over a decade, and of course Ron Artest going into the stands. The other thing I think about with that Lakers series had such a weird dynamic, because of course, you know, Yao breaks his foot after game 3, ends up being the end of his career, although we didn't know it at the time. But you know he's out for the playoffs, and it's just this overwhelmingly kind of just despair, I would say, feeling around the team. And then both in Game 4 and Game 6, the next few games at Toyota Center, you know, it would have been so easy for the Rockets to kind of, you know, just kind of lick their wounds, feel sorry for themselves. They came out on fire. Like, one of those games, they went up like 18-2, something absurd out of the gate. and just like the
Yeah.
So I remember exactly what you're talking about, just like the energy in that place, because it was, you know, it was like the little team that could, you know. Like I said, that was the one, you know, in a way it was a downer because, you know, you knew they were capped, you knew without Yao they couldn't, you know, they couldn't win at all. But, you know, when you see a team that's outmanned, that's just like that gritty and fighting that hard, you know, yeah, that was a really cool environment. You know, I think back, you know, I remember 2015 because, of course, it's more recent. But yeah, 2009, that was pretty fun too.
And even the, you know, T-Mac was missing there, and you know, people have this weird thing of kind of we love success without the star player. You
Yes.
know, I mean, James Harden sitting on the bench for what, game six of the Clippers comeback,
Yep.
and another last addition for a non-playoff game would be when the Rockets tied the 3-point
Oh yeah.
record against the Golden State
Oh
Warriors.
yeah, remember, yeah, remember when
I
they
think
owned?
I showed up. I came half at the halftime. I came from late from a test exam that I
Yeah.
had that night, but I made it in time for the second half for that. And I was just
Yeah.
1-4-3 chanting, and
Yeah, when
that was what started our Golden State Warriors hate
Yeah, when
rivalry there.
when Mark Jackson was so much of a baby that he intentionally fouled to prevent the Rockets from, you know, getting a shot. And of course, that was back when the Rockets owned the Warriors. Those were really fun times. And yeah, somehow
A really 8-game winning streak for, I can't remember, but
somehow that turned around. I'm not really sure what happened, but Kevin Durant, I blame him, even though he hasn't played a game in with the Warriors yet. I'm still blaming KD anyway. Bree, thanks so much for the time. I thought this was really fun. I hope you gave some good intel, not just on you as a super fan, but on the Rowdies as well. For anybody who's not following you already, and if you're on Rockets Twitter and not following Bree, I mean, come on, what are you doing with your life? But tell people where they can find you on Twitter and also anything else. Like you were talking about your Tumblr earlier and that kind of stuff.
all right, on Twitter, I'm 00 Rocket Girl. And then on Instagram, I'm 00 underscore Rocket Girl. Tumblr, I don't tumble. I don't know what the verb is for that, except for maybe on Valentine's Day. And
Yeah.
if I do, I'll tweet out the link.
Okay, cool. I couldn't rem yeah, I
That
couldn't
was great
remember.
talking to you.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for being with us. We'll catch up with you soon, okay?
All right, have a good one.
You too. That was awesome. I don't know about you guys, but for me, that was by far the most fun episode of Locked On Rockets that I've hosted yet. Bree's just a really great fan, really enjoyable person to catch up with. Had a great time both talking about the fan experience as well as basketball. Thought it was a good blend of the two. Went in thinking that it might be taking an episode off, but we got in some good basketball talk too. And I really don't think I can top it. So that note, let's sign out. Again, I'm Ben Dubose. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. And if you would like to be a sponsor, like SeatGeek, you can email us at lockedonrockets@gmail.com with any advertising or sponsorship inquiries. Again, today's Locked On Rockets brought to you by SeatGeek. All you've got to do is download their mobile app for the easiest way to buy tickets, and the promo code LO Rockets gets you a $20 rebate off of your first purchase. So again, this is Ben Dubose signing off, and I will be talking with you again very soon.